Hello and welcome to a special Schmoty edition of Film Weekly dedicated to the film Gainsbourg. Directed by Joan Sfar, who's best known in France and to fans around the world as a comic book artist, he was certainly the surprise choice to land the gig of directing a biopic of one of France's most controversial and cherished modern icons, Serge Gainsbourg. Sure enough, Sfar takes an unconventional approach to telling the life of the great chanteur, raconteur, provocateur, and womaniseur. His Gainsbourg, played by the little-known cabaret actor Eric Elmoninos, is a figure continually haunted by his own large-headed puppet, a marionette which pursues him down alleyways and into bedrooms, a constant reminder of his Jewish past, his ugliness, his weakness, and his genius. It's a fascinating and, I think, very successful approach, and although the film does eventually settle down into some more conventional narrative rhythms later on, the supernatural elements are never far from the screen, and the musical highlights of a prolific career woven in and around the biographical moments. The scene of Gainsbourg chasing Letitia Casta's Brigitte Bardot around a piano while composing the refrain of Moi je t'aime non plus is one such sexily unforgettable cinematic moment. I met up with Joan Sfar on his recent visit to London, where he was being received at the French ambassador's residence, no less, as part of the rendezvous with French cinema. While guests, including Kristin Scott Thomas, François Ozon, and Stephen Frears picked over the Ferrero Rochers downstairs, Joan kindly gave me this exclusive interview upstairs, signing Gainsbourg posters as we talked, drawing cigarettes, phalluses, breasts, and fish in his trademark illustrative style. Joan Sfar, where does Joan come?
I don't know, my mother invented that name, maybe from Germany.
Ah. And Sfar?
Sfar comes from Algeria.
Okay. So you're North African and North European.
I come from a Jewish family, which is half from Algeria and half from Ukraine.
Oh, okay. So I'm sensing there's obviously from your film as well, that there's quite a big relationship between your Jewishness and Serge Gainsbourg's Jewishness.
Yes, definitely, because those are two different stories. I come from a very religious neighborhood, so I was taught about the Torah and so on. And for Gainsbourg, it's quite different. He had no idea about being a Jew. His family did not have any religious behavior. And then when World War II arrived, the French police tells him he is a Jew. So it's very strange to see the police of the state you're living in that give you a yellow star and that reminds you have a religious background.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a very strong scene where he's sort of first in line to get his yellow star. Already, as a young kid, his insolence in your film is being portrayed that way. Is this a true story, though?
It is a story he repeated many times. He said when it was about the yellow star, he wanted to be the first one to bear it. And when someone say, are you in a hurry to bear your star? He answered, this is your star, sir. You want me to bear it. And I feel it's the punk behavior of Serge Gainsbourg is everything in that scene, in that moment.
Eh bien, bonjour. Non seulement vous fumez pendant le service, mais en plus vous pervertissez la jeunesse, bravo.
Mais c'est lui qui me fait un club, monsieur Poletti.
Et vous là, qu'est-ce que vous foutez dans mon bureau avant les horaires d'ouverture?
Bah c'est à cause du gamin, hein, monsieur Poletti. Il veut son étoile avant tout le monde.
Merci, monsieur. Si j'étais en retard un jour comme ça, j'en aurais honte toute ma vie.
Dis donc, toi, tu te prends pour qui à nous parler comme ça?
Yeah, I liked it because I knew what was going to come, that he would get more and more punk. It also, in your film, allows you to do one of the first instances of this strange puppetry that follows him, because this gross caricature of a Jew steps out of a poster and follows little Serge down the cobbled street. A very strange image, but one that repeats and repeats throughout the film.
Yes, because he always said he hated his mug, as he said. So if you're 10 years old, you live in Paris in the 40s, and you learn you are a Jew. If you want to know what a Jew is, you just have to look at the caricature on the street. So if people tell you you are this, you got to learn to live with this.
Mm-hmm. It must be interesting for you, the history of caricature, because really that's the way you're coming at film. You're a comic book designer first and foremost, and then you're bringing that sensibility, that aesthetic, to film as well. In one of the most kind of pleasing aspects that I've seen, I'm not a big comic book fan. I don't love all this superhero graphic novel kind of stuff, and I don't really like the movies based on it. But yours had a lightness, had a humour to the caricatures, in the way that I think caricature artists from Hogarth in this country too, I don't know who the great French caricaturists are, but that school of it came through your film.
Yes, I think caricature bears a big responsibility when depicting the minorities and the people, and drawing can be a weapon, but it can also heal people. And I try to use my drawing in an ironic way. At some moments, it's about showing a character in his dirtiest way, and at moment, drawing provides a salvation. So all my work is about depicting people and sometimes helping them.
Mm-hmm. And Serge Gainsbourg himself, he was a caricaturist?
No, he was a painter. He said his whole life was a failure because he dreamt about being a painter and he only managed to be a singer.
Oh, really? A bit like Nina Simone, who always wanted to be a classical pianist. You're never, even the great famous ones are never famous for what they want to be famous for.
Yeah, that's the story I love because this is so not a success story. It's a guy who wanted to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Obviously that comes from his father, who was a classical pianist, and there's much play in the film of the relationship with his family, which is kind of a nice, close Jewish family. I like the way you very quickly draw this relationship with food, with pickles.
What I love specially is his Jewish Russian mother managed to have Brigitte Bardot eating pickles. It's like you cannot fight against a Jewish mother. If she wants you to eat, even if you are Brigitte Bardot, you will eat.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, madame.
Bonjour.
Excusez-moi de vous avoir dérangé.
Oh non.
Mais ça va pas bien? Vous voulez un verre d'eau?
Oui.
Merci, mais je dois partir.
Non.
Manger?
Oui.
Non, merci.
Elle était jolie, cette chanson.
Personne n'avait jamais fait ce genre de déclaration d'amour.
It's a trait I recognise. Not that my mum ever had Brigitte Bardot around, but we've had famous people in the house. They still eat, Joanne, as you know. Your film must be, you're a first-time filmmaker. Obviously, you have a great kind of reputation as a comic book designer. But for me, when I heard they were making the film of Gainsbourg, I thought, well, you know, this is a national treasure of France. You know, this is, you know, they've never been a film about him before. I thought that's strange. And they've given it to Joanne Svar. Who the hell's this guy? You know, how on earth did you land this very precious but also extremely difficult gig? Because every Frenchman has an idea of Serge Gainsbourg.
I just don't know. I did not do a film for the fans. I am a fan myself, no. and I did a very egotist movie. I used the song I prefer. I show the erotic moment I prefer, and I wanted to depict this guy in love with the most beautiful woman. And maybe it's a musical after all. It's about him and his songs. It's not a biopic. It's more a tribute or a musical movie, I guess.
It's hard when you do biopics these days because you have to kind of go through the motions. You have to go, they were born, and they had children, and they got married. And everyone knows the history of Serge Gainsbourg, at least people in France. But even people in England know about James Birkin and Brigitte Bardot and Moi Je T'aime Non Plus, which is interesting because the name of the film in France is Serge Gainsbourg, Moi Je T'aime Non Plus, is that right? But in England, where that was a very famous song, they have changed the name in case people don't know it. It's bizarre.
I don't know, maybe they seem it's more punk, more pop to say Gainsbourg. My idea is to provide many clichés about France and to give them a twist, like the love stories and the Bank of River Seine, the artist and his model, the pop singer. And I try to make this more intimate, more fragile, and I don't know if I succeed, but the point is to go back on cliché from love stories and musicals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was looking at it and I thought the Paris it most reminded me of recently is not the Paris of Cachet or the Paris of La Fille sur le RER by Station 8. Reminded me more of Baz Luhrmann's Moulin Rouge kind of look of Paris. It had a make-believe Paris about it.
Yes, my main reference was An American in Paris.
Oh, and, Minelli.
And I tried to go back to the real location he mentioned in his movie. And it's not production design, it's real location, but I put the kind of light that make you believe it's production design.
Ah.
I want my movie to look like a movie, not to look like real life.
There was also a bit that reminded me, I don't know if this is intentional, of Woody Allen's Everyone Says I Love You, where he's dancing with Goldie Hawn on the Quai de la Seine.
Definitely, it's on the same quay, at the same place, and it's an answer to the scene. And you can find the same scene in An American in Paris.
Yeah, it was his tribute to that in the first place.
Yeah.
Any other films that reference? Because in a way, Hollywood has always, you know, has a different view of Paris to French filmmakers.
I think the Paris I show is designed for the Japanese and the American. I mean, I've been living in Paris for 20 years, and I don't care about real Paris. I care about the idea the tourists have with that city. So it's intentional if it looks like a Ratatouille at some moments.
We love Ratatouille, you know. That was a good rat. What was the starting point? You say everyone has their idea of Gainsbourg. Had you always kind of dreamt if I make a film of Gainsbourg, I'm going to put, you know, it's about the lyrics of La Javanaise rather than the actual history of fact? Or was it the fact that you wanted to do a scene with Brigitte Bardot?
I wanted to film a love scene with Brigitte Bardot. I guess it's the main thing. They asked me to make a movie, and what was my subject? I wanted music, I wanted sex, and I wanted love story, and I wanted a strange character. And Gainsbourg was so wonderful in that perception.
Mm-hmm. In the way that Godard said, all you need to make a movie is a girl and a gun. All you need to make a Joan Sfar movie is sex, a beautiful woman, a strange character.
Yes, what I love, especially in comedy, is when there is a sexy twist. It's people are nice, they're well-mannered, but at a moment, they become strange. They say something that would put you ill at ease, maybe. And you mix family relationship, love relationship, sad moments. When you manage to have this look like a real feeling from a real love story, you're happy.
Mon amour, va au piano, écris-moi la plus belle chanson d'amour.
The scene that where Serge and Brigitte Bardot sort of had spend the night together, have their affair, and they start composing Moi Je T'aime Non Plus, which of course he then recorded with Jane Birkin, not with Bardot in the end. But it's a beautiful scene where they play on top of the piano. You got Laetitia Casta, who I'm a big long-time admirer of, let's put it that way. I think everyone, every man in the world is a long-time admirer if they've ever seen her. You got her to play Bardot. That must have been, a hell of a tribute for her to play Bardot, but was she scared about that?
Oh, yes, she did not say yes at the first glance because she was frightened about embodying that kind of figure. So she gave Bardot a phone call. And
really?
Yes, and Bardot was so happy that Laetitia would do the job. And that's why Bardot accepted the movie, and she was very happy of it. And it was so wonderful to say, okay, you spend a love night with Brigitte Bardot, what does she say first in the morning? Mm-hmm. I say, okay, she says, are there croissants? And we had so much fun. And, she had to dance a sexy dance with a white sheet. And
I loved that dance.
And it was, and we had a dance teacher, and forgive me for being rude, but she told me, you want the audience to have a hard-on, please, I don't need a teacher for that. we invented a choreography which would be natural. Mm-hmm. It's not about dancing well, it's about bringing the intimacy of the character.
Now, what is that song that they sing together? It's a sort of cartoonish song. Bardot was always providing, even on Bonnie and Clyde, those cartoonish kind of, that's her singing, isn't it?
It's a song about comic book, and it helps for me. He made a song about her being a hero of a comic book.
Yeah.
And of course, it's a very light song because it's just before the moment where they have a kind of sad moments. He say, tell me you love me, and she just answers, I'm well with you. Mm-hmm. It means I'm already gone,
What's the name of that song?
It's a comic strip.
Viens petite fille dans mon comic strip, viens faire des bulles, viens faire des oui, take, crack, et bande, des frappes, des
chibam, pow, blop, oui.
Is that Laetitia Casta singing?
Yes, all my comedians have been singing, and we've been recording all the songs. So it was a huge job, but very funny to do.
Because it's interesting, because I love Serge Gainsbourg's music and his voice, and it's one of those things to get. And there's a current trend in biopic making for Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix doing Johnny Cash. And I think the problem with that film is that he doesn't sound as good as Johnny Cash, but whereas Jamie Foxx sounded as good as Ray Charles because they used Ray Charles's song. And I wonder which way you would go in your music. And I think that Marion Cotillard mimed to Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose. We had it here, or La Môme it was called in France. You had that decision that your actors would actually do their own lyrics and do their own song.
Yes, because we make a live performance, and because we respect Serge Gainsbourg records, we don't want to steal from them, we want to pay a tribute. So it's as if we made a cabaret show about Gainsbourg. We have to sing.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the actor then, because not only did I, when I noticed that the film was commissioned, that it was Joan Sfar, the key Joan Sfar, your lead actor,
Eric Elmosnino.
Eric Esmonino.
He's a wonderful live theater actor, and he did not give a damn about the movie, and he didn't care about Serge Gainsbourg, and he was so relaxed, and it's such a pleasure to work with him because he's a hard worker, but he pretend to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 5 months of rehearsal before the shooting, so we prepare as if it was a live theater show, and it was so pleasant to work with these people, and rehearsing is my method, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But he got the look of Serge Gainsbourg, he got the face of Serge Gainsbourg, what you said, the mago, what they say in front of la gueule, he had the this girl of Ostagrin's, which is sort of like some kind of sea bass or codfish in some kind of way.
Yes, he told me the point is not to imitate Gainsbourg, is to embody this character as if he was an imaginary character, and that's, I guess, why it works. It's because he did not copy on movies of Gainsbourg. He tried to embody him.
Yeah, he got the late Serge Gainsbourg, which is when I lived in France. Gainsbourg was still alive, but he was just basically almost a comedy figure on late night television. He'd come, he'd be a bit drunk, smoke a lot, and say stuff. I mean, I think you're the same age as me. Is that how you knew Gainsbourg first? Is this kind of almost comic, kind of sad figure on French cultural shows?
Yes, in those moments he was kind of sad, and when you were a kid you saw that you could not maybe get the character, but when you start to know his songs, when you start to discover his attitude, he's the only French singer who gave French language musical credibility, in my perception.
Yeah, it was a Jacques Brel as well, I think.
Yes, but in a different world. To understand Jacques Brel, you need to understand the lyrics, but you can love a Gainsbourg song without understanding the lyrics because of the musicality of the words.
Well, they were always quite jazzy and quite funky later on. They had a bit of reggae, of course, later on, but there was also some classical music in there, which I never really kind of recognised until your film. There's obviously that kind of, his father was the classical musician, and there was a little bit of Jewish folk music in there too.
Yes, he had two main influences, which were Russian classical music and African rhythm. So he stole many things from Dvorak and on one side, and from Myriam Makeba on the other.
Allons enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé. Contre nous de la tyrannie, les tornards sanglants délevés.
He's always be open to influence, not to say he also stole a lot of songs, but it was about making songs which are alive and which are appealing to the kids.
What about foreign audiences? Because here Gainsbourg, he's well known, I think, as a French person, but not, people don't know his music so well. Apart from Moi Je T'aime Non Plus, he didn't really have any hits here. What did you think of this making, obviously in France, as I said at the beginning, this is a very important subject, everyone cares about Gainsbourg, but here, you know, people are wondering, well, why isn't, you know, Mathieu Amalric playing Gainsbourg and it being directed by, you know, someone very, very experienced.
No, let's be clear. We've been selling the movie to 30 countries because it's a Parisian love story with Brigitte Bardot. most people don't know about Gainsbourg. It's an elite singer. But the idea of a love story with an artist and Brigitte Bardot and maybe a visual world, I think it has been appealing for the audience. But selling it as a biopic would be a problem because people don't know Gainsbourg. We didn't see that many people who know him.
Yeah, around the world. Well, I mean, I know him, so I'm very, very pleased to see it. So you're here at the Rendezvous de Cinéma Français, the French Film Rendezvous here in London. We're at the Ambassador's House, Joanne. This is a very important place for you.
Yeah, we're in a wonderful place, and we're kind of naked, and we just saw the ambassador wearing panties just outside the room, and he asked me for a lubrificant bottle, so I'll give it to him.
You'll give him some, yeah, because I think is that Carla Bruni? And who's the little man with the heel?
This one is my next biopic, maybe.
Oh, that one I'm looking to see. Not so much smoking, but Joanne Svar, congratulations. Félicitations on Gainsbourg. I really enjoyed it. Is there a bon sonore? Is there a soundtrack going to be for this album that we can buy?
Yes, there is. There is a double album. I guess you can get there from the net. I don't know if it's sold in the shops here, but we've been hard working on the sound of that movie.
And it'll be what? The recordings of Eric or the recordings of Serge?
Oh, it's all the thing we did for the movie. And there are also original songs from Gainsbourg in the record.
Oh, well, I'm going to get that.
Thank you very much.
À plus, bye.
Thank you, merci.
Merci beaucoup to Joanne Svar. His brilliant Gainsbourg is on UK-wide release from Friday the 30th of July. And as you heard, Joanne has released a special soundtrack for the film. And we've got 3 copies to give away. The question is very simple, but you can only find it if you go to our Facebook fan page, Film Weekly Fans. Put your entry in there and we'll pick them out and announce them the week after next. Because I'm on my holidays. I'm going away. And The Guardian's Henry Barnes will be bringing you a special Rush's Soho Shorts Film Festival edition while I'm away. So for now, from me, Jason Solomons, and my producer, Jason Phipps, it's goodbye.
trou, un petit trou, un dernier petit trou. Et on mettra dans un grand trou, et j'en prendrai plus par les trous. Plus jamais de trous, de petits trous, de petits trous, de petits trous.